I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello one and all, and welcome to Behind the Glass, the podcast which aims to take you behind the scenes of the YouTube channel Seen Through Glass, as well as the automotive and social media worlds. You join me, your host, Sam, from the YouTube channel Seen Through Glass, as well as girlfriend slash podcast producer, Vicky.
Hi, everyone.
She's back by popular demand. We're back.
I've always been here.
You missed a couple. When you were tired, I think.
Yeah, but I've always been here physically.
Yes, people don't always realize this, that Vicky is omnipresent. She is always around. Even when you're like, she's not in the video. Oh, she's there. She is there. She just might not be in shot. So we do get some questions every now and again saying like, where was Vicky when you were filming with Glenn in the F50? She was around. She just wasn't in the car. We'll leave it at that. Anyway, let's bring you all up to speed because, as I say, it's been a few weeks since our last podcast. You join us in Jackson Hole, Wyoming, in our sort of log cabin in Jackson Hole, Wyoming.
Teton Village.
Oh, sorry. Thank you. Teton Village, which actually I'm a big fan of. I came to this area for the first time last year for the Rolls-Royce Cullinan launch and thought the place was amazing. Then we stayed in like an, of course, ridiculous 7-star hotel just above Jackson itself. We are, of course, on our budget drive the world trip, staying in a much more affordable Airbnb, but in Teton Village, which I think is really nice. And Vicky, you have also been
super nice. And any tips for anyone visiting the area? Go and visit the Teton Thai in Teton Village.
Teton Thai in Teton Village. Delicious food. Forgive this slightly rudimental setup for those of you watching us here on YouTube. By the way, if you are watching us on YouTube, make sure to subscribe, turn on notifications for future podcast episodes. But yes, it's early in the morning. It's about 8 o'clock. We get kicked out of this Airbnb at 10, and we were planning to record this podcast last night, but my good lord, I don't know what's happened to us. The tiredness has kicked in. We're feeling pretty exhausted at the moment, and last night when it got to sort of 7 or 8 p.m. We were not in a good place to record a podcast.
Also, apparently altitude affects you in those kind of areas. Since we entered Yellowstone, we've been at a really high altitude, and so for people that are not used to that, apparently it affects them quite dramatically.
And we're not used to it. Yeah. So, yeah, we've been feeling pretty sleepy. So we're recording it now. We've got our coffee with us, but I'm literally in my pyjamas sitting on the sofa in our Airbnb. So, yes, it doesn't look fantastic, but we've been having some thoughts about the sort of YouTube side of this podcast. I recently appeared on the Rain City Supercars podcast over in Seattle. That was awesome. I actually really enjoyed doing that. If you haven't checked out or listened to that episode, I'll put a link to it below. Go have a listen. Those guys are doing awesome things. But they did something very clever where they filmed basically the first 15 minutes of the episode, almost as like a sort of teaser trailer for the main podcast itself, because podcast is fundamentally an audio only, you know, sort of
outlet.
Thank you. Or content, I suppose. I know lots of you use YouTube to just play the episode in the background. You don't actually watch the content, but you just listen to it via YouTube. So I don't want to rob you of that right. But let us know your thoughts. If there was a sort of 15-minute highlights or intro here on YouTube, and then the fuller version as audio only, as podcast should be. But anyway, today you're going to have to put up with, this slightly dodgy setting and dodgy background. And on top of that, seems to be some lawn mowing.
There's actually a second lawn mower that's joined the first lawn mower. So if you're hearing weird kind of buzzy noises, that's from the lawn mower.
Oh, yeah, he's got like a weed trimmer So he's looking very professional.
There's another one, yeah. There's another one there.
Okay, that's great. And there's a fan above us. So yeah, we're a bit amateur today, but forgive us. Hopefully we're going to talk about some interesting stuff and make up for the awful visuals and potentially audio. So how do we get here? Obviously, we are now sort of deep into the US leg of Drive the World, the sort of third biggest leg, I would say. Australia at the start of the year, then Europe, now North America. Of course, we did do Asia as well, but without the 9/11 Carrera T. We will be doing South America in some part and the Middle East. We're going to come onto this in a little bit because I have big updates there. So for me, this is the last big chunk, or the big challenge, America at least. And yeah, we're about a month or so in. Powered up from LA north and ended up in Vancouver. And then this is a sort of exclusive update for all of you actually listening or watching to the podcast. We actually had to fly back to the UK for like 2 days for my best friend's wedding. Rob, who's appeared on the channel a handful of times on the Mob Ball Rally and also during Vlog Angeles, got married. Unbelievable to some, including myself. An amazing occasion and one I was never going to miss. So sort of secretly to the main Seen Through Glass audience, I snuck off, or Vicky and I snuck off, and we flew back to the UK for 2 days from Vancouver, which, I mean, of course I was going to do it, but it wasn't such a good idea because, my good Lord, that was exhausting. Going to a wedding with that kind of jet lag and then returning to Vancouver and trying to continue Drive the World. Yeah, bad idea.
Sadly, life doesn't end just because we're on a round the world trip.
Yeah, yeah, that's
people
exactly
get
it.
Married, there's birthdays, there's important events that we need to go and visit. Unless we want to lose friendships.
Well, there you go. I had to miss the stag do. So I couldn't have missed, and I wouldn't have ever missed the wedding. So yes, we flew back. And actually straight after that, when we got back, we then went to stay in Golden, in British Columbia, with Vicky's sister for 4 days.
My sister's a big adventurer, so she lives in deep in the Rocky Mountains.
Deep in the Rocky Mountains, living the adventure lifestyle. And so we've been planning, we've been trying to go and visit her for like 3 years or something now. And of course, with Drive the World and being that we were going to be driving into Canada, it was the perfect opportunity to spend some time with her. And that's actually when I filmed the F50 video with Glenn. If you haven't seen that video over on the Seen Through Glass main channel, go check it out. One of my favorite videos I filmed really this year, all about adventure and tourism and travel.
Nature.
And Ferrari. So I was super happy. But yeah, that was whilst we were staying with Vicky's sister. So the main channel's been a little bit quiet for the last week or so, which, you know, I don't think is any bad thing. I get the feeling that some of you really appreciate when the videos are spread out a little bit more. You know, at times this year we've been doing 4 videos a week, and I feel like sometimes they get sort of overlooked or missed or muddled together. So I think it's nice to let some of the videos breathe every now and again. Let me know if I'm wrong there. But we're about to leave this place, as I say. We're getting chucked out of our Airbnb in an hour or so, and we sort of head south. So yeah, to recap, LA all the way up to Vancouver, which is basically all the way up the northwest coast of North America, then across sort of towards Calgary, which was, I don't know, about 500 miles inland or something like that. And now we're headed south. We've come down through Montana, Jackson. We then go on to Salt Lake City.
Yellowstone.
Let's come back to that in 2 seconds. Good reminder. Salt Lake City, then Colorado Springs, across to Kansas City, and then down to Dallas, Texas, where we then start to slowly head back north again. So yeah, as lots of you will know, for those of you that looked at the route for the US, it's a complicated mess. It's a zigzag, but it's working for us. Let's touch on Yellowstone quickly. So yes, we did this amazing drive south from Golden in BC, and we ended up in Yellowstone National Park. I mean, there are so many national parks in America, it's hard to tell which ones to go to. But funnily enough, when I was at the Formula E in New York, I bumped into Casey Neistat. And I said to him, look, I know you've just done your drive across the country in your Tesla, because he did when he was relocating to LA, drove from New York to LA. And I said, what are your tips for the trip? Because we're about to do the same thing, but the other way around. And he said, don't skip the national parks. And boy, was he right, because we've done quite a few now. But I would say that Yellowstone was probably the most mind-blowing.
For sure. And saying we've done the national parks means we've driven through the national parks.
Thank you very much.
Stopping for the all of 2 minutes and admiring a tree and taking snapping a photo of a tree. But no, we've enjoyed, and I think it's better to have driven through them rather than not, even if we haven't had time. But yeah, we've done quite a few in Oregon. But Yellowstone, for sure, as expected, kind of blew us away. We only saw two of the big sort of natural landmarks.
Natural things. we say to be expected because, if you don't know, Yellowstone was the first national park of America. And sort of its main attraction, I suppose, is its volcanic activities. Don't get me wrong, there's loads of amazing animals there, and we'll get back onto that in a second. But it's also volcanically
active. It's basically
active.
A super volcano. We were basically in a volcano.
But that's so super
idiots.
Volcano. Idiots, did you say? Yeah. Good for us for driving into a super volcano. It's obviously not active at the moment, I don't think. Who knows? I mean, it looks
active. Could get active.
Yeah, and it look when you're driving around, there's like bubbling mud pools and water that's apparently 114 degrees and spurting sprouts of gas and air and water. It's kind of wild. It reminded us a bit of some parts of New Zealand where we saw equally as volcanically active terrain. But yeah, no one quite does it like America in terms of scale and show. So it was awesome, and we did see a ton of wildlife. Actually, just driving around, we saw a bison, a moose,
a herd of elk.
Thank you. Still no bears. This is like a big issue for me personally. I really wanted to see a bear, obviously, like not up close. I mean, I did say that I wanted to hug a bear, and I kind of still do, but I don't want to bump into one on a trail. But I would like to see one from the safety of a car or anyway, we haven't. Everyone keeps saying, oh, you'll definitely see bears in Yellowstone.
Yeah, apparently it's berry season.
Berry season. Which the bears come out for berry season. True. Yeah. But still, no bears.
No bears.
So fingers crossed today on our journey down to Salt Lake City.
However, we did go on a hike with my sister. And she said, oh, look, there's bear poo here. And so we both freaked out and basically ran down the mountain. Because if there's bear poo, there is bear. And we were on the top of a mountain, who would have protected us?
Well, I mean, this was a firm reminder to Vicky and I that we're definitely city people, or maybe at least from London. Because, you know, we do enjoy a hike, and we've tried to be quite adventurous this year. And we feel like we have been, you know, Lion's Head and Cape Town, that felt like a pretty extreme hike. But it lacked...
people.
Yeah. It lacks predators. Whilst out in Canada, as Vicky mentioned, you do have predators, i.e. bears. And her sister and her sister's
and
boy...
wolves.
And wolves. And wolves and eagles. I don't know what else can attack humans. I feel like an eagle could land on your head and pull your scalp off or something. But yeah, off we went into this sort of, you know, mountainous hike. And we'd be having a conversation, then suddenly Vicky's sister and a boy would go, oh! Like that, which was apparently like a warning, not to wolves, but to bears. You're supposed to make a sort of big noise. So they had these sort of techniques, oh, like this. We didn't know what was going on, but apparently that's warning off a bear.
You just have to make noise, but yes, they were shouting quite...
They had sort of weird...
Quite aggressively.
Yeah, quite aggressive
shouts. Which made us worried.
Yeah, so we got to the... We didn't even get to the peak, I'll be honest. I got near the peak, saw the cliffside drop either side of the sort of ridge you were supposed to walk on, had a complete panic attack and had to turn around. So. Major vertigo attack. So yeah, I had to bail from that pretty quickly, which was a bit depressing. But yeah, we survived. Which
we
is
basically
the main
did it.
We saw that we got near the peak. We just didn't actually climb onto it. But hey, it's not a competition. We still had a good time. That's the main thing. So, yes, I think that probably brings you up to speed with some stuff which you wouldn't have known from watching the main channel in terms of where we've been and what's been going on. But, yeah, lots of excitement ahead. And, of course, the podcast hopefully will now be back up and running. It just took us a while to sink into the US lifestyle. My upload time for the main channel is 4 a.m. here, which means I'm always chasing my tail editing. We're spending our usual long days of 5 to 6 hours driving and then 5 to 6 hours filming and then 4 hours editing, which means operating off about 4 hours sleep, because I'm always chasing my tail to get videos up. So we're struggling to get into the flow of things, but we feel like we've done that, and so the podcast hopefully will now become another regular feature. Anyway, we're going to take a short little break here now just so I can drink my coffee, and then we're going to be getting into Q&A, questions and answers, because I asked a ton of you on Instagram the other day to submit some questions for us to answer, because I feel like it's been a while, and over again, whether it's on YouTube or Instagram or Twitter, I'm seeing regular questions, similar questions popping up over and over again, but also some super interesting ones that require a more complicated answer than I can do, yeah, on Instagram. So we've got a ton of them. Vicky's going to be question master, question asker.
Oh my God, okay, question asker.
I'm going to need that coffee. And we'll just try and get through as many as we can before we need to start packing this place up and moving on. So yes, let me have my coffee and we'll be back with you in 2 seconds.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Right, we're back. I had a slight moment there where I swallowed the coffee and it didn't quite go down. But anyway, that's too much information. Question master.
Yeah.
Are you ready?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, let's just dive in. I think try and pronounce, I guess, or read the handle of the question. Again, these have all come from Instagram, just because it's going to take me too long to edit in the name. So if you could read them out for our audio listeners, that would be much, much appreciated.
Right, okay, well, since you just choked on your coffee, let's start with a sort of topical question from tim.v.drill, or however it's
sure,
pronounced.
Sure, yeah, we're not going to pronounce them perfectly, okay, but we're going to give it
a go.
Sorry
about that in advance. What's your typical Starbucks order?
Ooh, did we talk about the Starbucks gift card? We talked about that on the Rain City Supercars podcast, right?
I feel like I need to talk about it here. I think we talked about it somewhere else as well, but just mention it quickly.
Well, two things, actually. So Paul Wallace, big shout out, Supercars of London, what a G, for my 30th birthday gave me a Starbucks gift card, which was amazing, but unfortunately seems to only work in the UK. So it's good because I live in the UK, so I'm going to be using that for the rest of my life. But also, whilst in Seattle, we bumped into a very nice man who works for Starbucks, like HQ, not in a Starbucks, like works for Starbucks, came up to me at a Cars and Coffee and gave me a gift card and said, oh, you know, here you go. So it's basically the Starbucks brand deal I've always wanted. And it's got like $100 on it. It's ridiculous. So like, that is me sorted. Anyway, sorry, I'm really rumbling on. My go-to is a flat white with almond milk. That's, you know.
No food ever, no cookies.
Oh yeah, lots of other stuff, no, but I think I could go on for hours. Yeah, my go-to is a flat white with almond milk.
Right, okay, so very quick one. From Jonathan Glass.
Good name.
How do you feel about missing out on press launches of new cars?
A very, very, very interesting question, actually. Because I actually wouldn't be going to press launches even if I was in the UK or not doing Drive the World. I made a decision about a year and a half ago, maybe, to stop going to press launches. And I spoke about it briefly in the Collecting Cars podcast I did with Ed Lovett and Chris Harris. Again, if you haven't listened to that one, that was a really interesting and fun chat. So I highly recommend that one. You'll hear a lot of my opinions on automotive YouTubing and YouTubing in general. But yeah, I can't remember which event I went to. It was pre... Actually, this is a lie because I did the Rolls-Royce Cullinan launch after my, like, I'm not going on anymore. But it was a long time ago, and I just went, look, I'm not comfortable in this situation. Firstly, I'm not a journalist. I don't want to have to review a car in a very quick and short period. Sometimes I try, and sometimes I do have to for content, but it's not something I want to put myself into. Secondly, on any press launch, you're in the same situation as everyone else attending. So the content, it's very hard to come up with a creative way to create content. You're given a set route plan, set itinerary, same locations. Look, for example, at the launch of the new Land Rover Defender. Every single video starts the same with the journalist walking out of the woods to two defenders parked up in the woods, and it's just like, oh, come on, guys. But that's not their fault. That's the position they're put in. So yes, I will try and avoid press launches now, unless, like the Rolls Royce Cullinan, I know the event is going to be incredible. I just want to experience that car in its setting, because it's very unlikely that I'll ever get in a Cullinan and be able to take it off-road like I could do at the launch. A McLaren GT, for example, which is happening this week, I think I probably could find a way to get into one of those cars at some point on the road, so I don't feel the need to go to the press launch. But I think, you know, exceptions for that will always be Ferrari, because that was a dream of mine growing up. I'm rambling again, aren't I? But
yeah.
I'm not gutted to be missing any. That's not an issue for me.
Okay. Jackson Bass. How successful has Drive the World been from a sub and view count point of view?
Oh, very unsuccessful, I think we can say. The channel in general has gained 100,000 subscribers year on year since I started it, which is an amazing stat to be able to claim. This year, we are way down on that. I think I've gained 40,000 subscribers, and we're in September. So that's been pretty horrific, but maybe not something necessarily to judge, because I've always thought subscribers aren't that important. My views actually come, this is a lot of analytics now, from 65% unsubscribed, which has always been the way. So I don't know why I'm bad at converting those viewers into subscribers. A lot of people I speak to that I meet aren't YouTube account holders. They just go, I don't have a YouTube account. I watch your videos. I go in and I type in Seen Through Glass. So as long as people watch the videos, I don't really care if they're subscribed or not. I think it's helpful when you're dealing with, you know, commercial work to be able to say, oh, I've got this number of subscribers. But it's never upset me that much. Vicky,
you're asking about your view count.
My
so
view
subscribers
count.
Subscribers and view count.
So view count is a very interesting one, because it's been a completely different game when it comes to views. I would say that last year and previous years, all of my views came in the first 48 hours, and then the videos would kind of flatline. Some videos were different to that. Whilst with Drive the World, it seems like people take their time to catch up or watch the videos, and actually it'll be the sort of first week or 10 days until I know how a video is performed. We've had dips. I think you always have dips on YouTube, and we've also had peaks. You ride the highs with incredible joy, and it's the best feeling in the world when you're getting good views. When you're in the lows, it's horrible, it's awful. And that's pretty much where we're at. So,
okay, next one. Chris VV Man, or something like that.
Sure.
Worst road you've driven on, I'm guessing from the trip.
Oh, I'm going to need your help here, Vicky.
Yeah. Well, I can immediately point you to two.
Oh, go.
So, firstly, any road in Serbia. We can agree with
yeah, any road in Serbia. Yeah, okay, agreed. Yeah. That's so harsh on Serbia, but
well,
sure.
It's harsh, but
no,
it's
no, no,
true.
No, just true. It's true.
I mean,
go for it. Yeah,
say,
yeah, Serbia, you
know?
You suck. Yeah. No. Serbia, your road sucks. So.
Yeah. Anyway, and then I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but do you remember driving through Seattle was a little bit in the actual city?
Yeah, but I'm going to disagree with you. It's like one of the worst roads we've driven. I think the road here to Teton Village, which is under construction.
But that's a mountain road. That's an off-road mountain road.
What about, well, LA is pretty bad. If you haven't driven in LA, those roads can kind of suck, especially for low vehicles. And then also, where was it? Oh, Riga, Latvia. Sorry to go harsh on the smaller European countries. We loved Latvia, and I actually really liked Riga, but driving there, like, not good.
Yeah, and I think Netherlands was a little bit intense, not in terms of bad quality, but just
crazy drivers.
Crazy drivers.
Don't say that.
Why?
One of my biggest demographics. I love you, Netherlands. You all know how to drive. You're
okay,
amazing.
Well, the drivers that I encountered whilst
well,
driving.
You obviously, they were probably foreigners. I doubt that they were Dutch.
Of course.
The Dutch people
were probably
just
French.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Okay.
Anyway,
moving on.
Hold on. I've lost my questions.
Okay. Logging back into the phone.
Okay. Right. Carl Saint.
Oh, I know Carl.
Do you?
Yeah, Carl's a G. Go on.
How do you feel about making the top 50 influencers in the country?
Oh, woo! Yes, this happened this week, which is pretty amazing. Woke up to the news that I was making the Sunday Times top 100 UK influencers list. I think all of you know I hate that word influencers. It makes me just shudder in my skin. But it's a phrase that's now been coined by the world to discuss, you know, it's Instagrammers, YouTubers, Twitchers, all of these people are now influencers. Ugh, so grim. But anyway, incredible to be included in that list, on that list, in position 50. We were joking the night before. I was like, oh my God, you're going to wake up and be like 99th. But I guess the positioning doesn't really matter. It's just about being included. And, you know, I've long joked about Zoella, who's a big UK sort of, I think you call her a makeup YouTuber. But anyway, she was the first poster YouTuber in the UK was made a big deal of, and I actually got placed ahead of her. So I think that sort of shows you that the actual positioning made no sense at all. And it was done by like a new analytics provider, I think. So in conjunction with Sunday Times. Super interesting, super amazing, absolutely flattered. Makes me think that I'm not just, you know, doing everything wrong. Because trust me, sometimes on Drive the World, you do question your life and your priorities. And so things like that just help re-motivate. I did see that JWW put out a post being like, oh, I'm number one in automotive, which I have to say I need to text him about and say, like, I don't think that was quite appropriate because it didn't feel like there was an automotive list. The only other person on that list was Adnan from Car Throttle, who you all know I love. But it feels like a lot of people were missing. Where was Shmi? Where was Paul Wallace? Where was Chris Harris? You know, I would still class him as an influencer, even though he's a TV presenter. He has a huge profile online. So I don't think you could really look at the different groups and say,
there wasn't an automotive chart.
Yeah. So I think, a little, and so it's not, I promise it's not coming from a jealousy point of view. I just think that it's a shame that more automotive wasn't included in that list, because I think that's why we struggle in the UK is in general as a cluster, is that we're overlooked as an area, as a niche, automotive, when there's so many of us now doing it and doing great, great things, across the board at every level of subscriber. So awesome that James, Adnan and I were included, but I would have liked to have seen others. And flattered to be on that list. But anyway, let's move on.
Well, you thought you were going to be number 99. I did. That was really lucky that you were number 50.
I'm really lucky. At that point, I was ecstatic.
Yeah. Okay, anyway, so a strange one. Name of this. Where is your new Ferrari? Is there something you need to tell me, Sam?
Oh, Vicky's looking at me like she's going to stab me in the face. A video coming soon on this.
What?
No. Don't worry.
What new Ferrari?
Don't worry. No, there's no new Ferrari. I did do a video a long time ago at Simon Furlong's prior to Drive the World, talking about sort of my next Ferrari. At some point in my life, I want to add another Ferrari to the range, to the collection. And I, at that point, was testing a 612 Scaglietta. You can't say that word, can you? Scaglietta. That series is making a return in the coming weeks because I do want to pick up that conversation again. However, Vicky and I, as always, are trying to buy a home so that when we get back to the UK, we have somewhere to live. That is our 100% priority right now. So buying cars, unfortunately, is having to take a bit of a back seat. But I'm going to explain more in that video. So this is just a teaser for some future Ferrari content.
M-dub-12-26.
Sick.
How much have you spent on the Drive the World adventure so far?
So this is what I wanted to talk about, actually, and I don't know if there's going to be another better question for this, but let's get into it now. It's too much. Spent too much. We've pretty much run out of money. That's a thing that has happened. So I think I got all my budgets pretty spot on, if I'm honest. Like, the budgets have all been good. And despite the incredible support that the majority of you showed us using the Kickstarter, the sort of crowdfunding at the beginning of the trip, and my sponsors, who've been incredible, Cars Shipping, First Point Insurance, who I have to say have been amazing, obviously handled the cars insurance, the 9/11's insurance in Europe. But they've also done a lot of other insurance, business insurance, health insurance, travel insurance, etc. Magnitude obviously helped get me in the car. Holzer did some awesome sort of meetup, different bits and stuff like that with them at the beginning of the year. Curve really helped me out with my managing of my expenses with the credit cards. Topaz, obviously with the Topaz skin, have been fantastic. And G-Technic, who keep the car nice and clean as we're moving around and protected. So they've all been great. But the money is just always pouring out of our accounts, whether it's just the little subliminal things like extra fuel or food and the boring stuff which you don't always account for, don't always know how it's going to play out. And the big thing that's been affecting us here in America is the rate. Obviously, with Brexit and all the drama going on in the UK, the pound has suffered. And so all of my initial budgets for the US are kind of out the window because the rates changed so massively. So we are really, really tight on money now, and heading into the sort of final chapter of Drive the World, the last 3 months or so, it's going to be a struggle. And so what I want to touch on is the fact that it is now looking heavily unlikely that the 9/11 is going to make it to the Middle East at the end of the year. That was always the original plan, was to take the 9/11 over for a couple of weeks to sort of finish off the year. There is one or a couple more videos in the UK in December, but Middle East is our final stop, really. But yeah, it's just financially impossible. Logistically, cars have been great and really been trying to help see if we can actually make it happen, but it's just a cost thing. So I think what's likely to happen is at the end of America, which will be Miami, the car will head back to the UK. We're going to pop down to South America. Again, we're going to have to really tighten that trip, where we're going, how many places we're going to visit, because it is actually expensive to not only fly down there, but to then get around once you're there. But we're going to try and at least touch that continent, or that, continent, South America, to say that we've been there and done that. Fly across to the Middle East, where I will no doubt hook myself up with a very cool loan car for the couple of weeks, speaking to a couple of companies about some pretty ridiculous stuff. So that'll be great. And then finally, we'll get back to the UK in December, reunite with the 9/11, and finish off the year with that car in the UK, which I guess only seems right to finish the year at home. So yeah, money-wise, I think actual numbers, we're well clear of £100,000.
But we're going to do a proper recap of all the budgets, right?
I don't know, like, we definitely want to do a lot of the stats and information, like money spent on petrol, money spent on this.
We're going to draw the line at the end, because it's so hard to say at the moment.
It's so hard to say now, and we're ever fluctuating, and we're always looking for deals here, there, and everywhere. But yeah, the money is a lot.
We kind of look at it in chunks, don't we? By per continent.
Month, like, you know. It's so varies, and not to bore you all, but YouTube AdSense massively affects that too, in terms of whether something's profitable or not. So anyway, we'll get into that another time.
We'll draw the line at the end. Let's just finish the whole thing. Right. So asharab.but.
Okay.
Hopefully not the butt that I'm thinking about.
Oh, how rude! It's not that kind of podcast.
How do you plan to top DTW videos after you're done?
Oh, I didn't want to get into this today. I've seen a lot of people asking this. What's next? What's next year? You'll have to wait and see. I'm just going to do a big old teaser there. Of course, there are plans. I'm not really thinking about it in too much detail, but even before I left, I knew what would come after Drive the World, because it's such a huge project that's all-encompassing. I had to have a way to motivate myself after it, because how do you recover from a trip like this? But yes, awesome, exciting plans, things that are starting to take shape. You know me, I always like to try and change up the channel, evolve the channel, do things. So just wait and see. Hopefully you can just enjoy Drive the World as we're going to try and do for the rest of the year, and then 2020 will bring its own thing.
This is a very quick one. Ludwig Nilsson, which hopefully I can answer if you let me.
Sure, I'm gonna have some more coffee.
How do you manage to take care of business whilst Drive the World? Assistant, employee,
You can answer, and then I've got a little thing to share on that, but yeah.
Well, no to both. No assistant, no employee.
You're hearing from her.
Sam does it all himself, and sadly he doesn't let me help as much as I want to help him, just because we try and keep that boundary between, you know, relationship and, you know, employer-employee relationship.
Yeah, which I think is a shady area.
But he really doesn't have anyone helping him out, so we're just doing it all ourselves. I help a little bit, But he does it all. One man band.
Yeah, one man since day one. Actually, well, I obviously had Joel for about 6 months when I had a particularly busy period a couple of years ago. Some of you may remember Joel, which was great and super helpful. But at the time, it was a sort of 6 month gig, and I thought, okay, I don't need him anymore. Would have been great to have someone like that during Drive the World, because yeah, I mean, anyone that's ever emailed me or messaged me about this trip will know that I take about 2 months on average to reply to you, which is horrific. But it's just so hard to keep up. And so this is something I want to talk about here again on the podcast. I need to figure out a way, a mechanism to advertise it properly. But I am going to be opening up for a couple of positions, permanent and non-permanent, at Seen Through Glass. Not for this year. We're going to struggle through, battle through. We think if we've survived this long, we can probably get through the next few months. But for 2020, there are going to be opportunities to come and work at Seen Through Glass, as I say, in permanent and non-permanent roles. If you're interested, this is going to be on an administrative side and also on a filming, photography, editing side. So keep your ears peeled, keep your eyes out. As I say, I don't know quite the mechanism yet, but I will be explaining more. But yeah, if you're thinking about wanting to move into this line of work, it's obviously going to be London, UK based. So it really only applies to people living in or around London in the UK. But next year, I'm definitely going to be looking to bring some people on. So a little teaser for those of you there that are interested in something like that.
Okay. Edward.cutting. Would you ever go racing or rallying?
Oh, my dream. I would love to. It comes down to money. Funnily enough, spending a lot of time this year around different people who are doing racing, like my good friend Phil, but also having some opportunities like at the Red Bull Ring, going out in little single-seaters. It always gets me flowing. I think most of you know, but maybe you don't. I did used to do a lot of racing when I was younger. I hate being like, oh, yes, I used to race. But up until the age of about 14 or 15, I took karting pretty seriously, did a couple of like small localized championships, nearly went to do a national championship, but money and talent ran out. So that didn't ever come to anything. But I now miss it, and I would love to get back into it. And I think next year, seeing how things flush out, there's definitely a potential opportunity to go and do some racing, and I would love to. So yeah, fingers crossed, touch wood, that will happen, probably at a very grassroots level to begin with. I did autocross during Monterey Car Week. Absolutely loved it. This is my own blowing smoke up my own bum here.
You killed it.
I came second behind a McLaren Senna, Phil's McLaren Senna, and he knows how to drive. We were second in the Carrera T with the roof box and the rally lights, beat a GT4.
And me inside.
And the inside as well. Weight issue.
Hey!
We beat a GT4. We beat, what else was out there? Bentley Continental GT, okay, fine, understood. There was another Ferrari, like a 348 or 355. There were some decent cars and some decent drivers, so I was actually like really chuffed with myself. So when moments like that happen, I want to do more. So yes, probably not rallying, but definitely racing.
You can choose to skip this one if you want.
Ooh, I get a pass.
I'm giving you an out card. It's Rick Curte. What are the future plans for the Volvo?
I'm not going to skip it. Ivan's gone. Let's just rip that band-aid off. Ivan has
He's dead.
So some of you may remember last year I made a video about lending Ivan to my sister while she was thinking about changing cars. Well, she didn't. She was useless. So Ivan just sat there being unused for a whole chunk of time. We went to use it in July when we're back in the UK, and he basically just died a horrible death, fell apart at every angle, and it went to the scrapyard. So, sorry, Ivan's gone. That's a real disaster, isn't it? But yes, he was brilliant. He was great. But our lives have changed ever so slightly. And I think there will be an Ivan replacement. I'm eyeing up something in particular that's a little bit too expensive. But yes, there will be an Ivan replacement. Again, something for 2020.
Okay, on that note, I'm .slech. What's the 911T replacement?
Oh, why am I replacing the 911T?
Exactly.
Harsh.
Who said he was replacing the 911T?
Yeah. I think our plan, finances dependent, obviously, because we seem to be spending all of our money. Sorry, Magnitude. I would love to keep that car. You know, we are doing so terrifyingly well with mileage. I was really expecting by this point of the year to be at like 40, 50,000 miles on the clock. We're not even at 25,000 miles on that car. So there's still going to be some value in it, but the sentimental value, I think, will be higher. The question will be is what will that car be like when we're not using it for Drive the World? Because it serves a purpose this year. It ticks so many boxes. But is it a 911 that I would have gone and bought if I wasn't doing Drive the World? Probably not. In the sense that I would have probably tried to get a GTS or a GT3 or probably not a turbo, or at least a manual Carrera T. So I've been looking at the Litchfield upgrade package for the Carrera T. I think if I'm keeping that car, I want to spruce it up a bit. So anyway, at the moment, no plans for it to go anywhere unless I run out of money. Final couple of questions? Final two questions. Let's do that.
Right, so
Alistair?
No. Oh, yeah.
Hey, no swearing.
Oh, sorry.
Now I've got to go through and bleep that. That's so annoying.
I'm so sorry. Alistair Holwell. Okay. It was just because when it's all together, it's difficult to
No, I'm with you.
Any difficulties driving your UK car in the US, getting pulled over often?
I don't know what's going on with Shmi. He seems to get pulled over every third day. We have only been pulled over once. I have only been pulled over once by accidentally misreading the speed limit, let's say that, in San Francisco at about 10:30 at night after dinner, heading home, left a tunnel, thought the speed limit resumed up to 75, apparently not, it was 55, my mistake. So the police, or the cops, pulled us over, the nicest, friendliest guy, didn't even make the mistake of walking up to the wrong side of the car, came straight up to my wheel, just said like, oh, are you on holiday? No problem. Like, just didn't have any issues. And we've never been pulled over again. So
they checked the documents of the cars. They checked your documents. They gave us a bit of a, slowed down a little bit.
Yeah, no, they were super nice. And we've crossed borders now. We've done US to Canada and Canada to US. And again, no issues. So I don't know what, I guess a Ford GT maybe stands out a little bit more than the 911, but
911 blends in with the nature.
Yeah, because it's green.
The camo.
Vicky, correct me if I'm wrong, because Vicky does drive as well, but you get used to driving a right-hand drive vehicle in a left-hand drive country very quickly.
Yes, it's definitely not an issue.
It's not an issue. So, yeah, anyway, there we go. And because we've always got a passenger, i.e. myself or Vicky, going into like drive-throughs or gated car parks, the passenger basically leans out and gets the ticket or the food. So, final question. Let's end strong.
Well, I'm not sure it's going to be strong, but I quite want to ask that question.
Oh, so you do. Just... Okay. Is it about you?
No.
Okay, let's go.
I can ask one about me.
No, that's all right.
03.Dylan, will you ever buy a Mercedes?
Ah, well, that's quite apt. I mentioned there might be an Ivan replacement and that I was eyeing something up. It's a Mercedes. I don't want to say exactly what it is. It's in a very similar ilk to Ivan. I'm not going to turn up with an AMG Project 1 in 2020 as my daily. So think Ivan, think Mercedes in that era. What were they making? What were they doing? We want a sort of another cheap, runaround, usable, spacious car for when we're back. We loved the sort of job that Ivan did at being something that we could just kind of use day in, day out, dump it places, leave it, fit loads of stuff in it, pick people up from the airport, all of this kind of stuff, which obviously you can't really do in the 360 or a 911. So, yes, there is a potential, but the car I'm looking at is a tad expensive and... I got a lot of questions and I can't really ask those questions or go and check out the car whilst in America. So let's see if it's still available when I get back in December and then you will all find out. But yeah, I would definitely consider owning a Mercedes.
Do you want one more or should we...
How are we at time-wise?
We can have one very quick one.
I'll try and answer quickly, okay. That's the problem.
Jonathan King Elliott.
Yeah.
Are you missing home and what about home since you're homeless?
Yeah, I'm missing home in everywhere, and by home I mean London. We are both Londonites. We love London. We realized very, very, very quickly that London is home, and as much as we thought maybe this year we'd be tempted to relocate to Sydney or Singapore or Timbuktu, London is where we're going to return to.
And best place on earth.
Oh, there she is. And I think, what do we miss? We miss routine. That's what we miss about home, because obviously we don't have a home. home. We're hoping to rectify that ASAP.
We pretend we have homes in different Airbnbs, which is quite funny. We kind of make house.
We make house in every Airbnb, and then it means we have a lot of packing.
We take it apart and the day after, exactly.
So yeah, it's this that routine. I made a joke to Vicky the other day, real funny joke, that I dream of the day that someone says, "What are you doing this weekend?" And I can just be like, "Oh, ironing," or you know, cutting the hedge, or you know, just oh, tidying up my room, because it's felt so long since we've said, you know, nothing. Every single time someone says, "Oh, what are you up to now?" We're like, "Oh, well, we've got to drive 3,000 miles here, and then we're filming 18 videos," and it's just, you know, so that's what I think we miss. Yeah.
Oh, I think my GoPro's run out of battery, so.
I feel like maybe my GoPro ran out of battery there, so I'm just going to sign off and say thank you so much. Thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. And we'll catch up with you guys very, very soon.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, marketers, advertisers, and business owners. Find yourself chatting up the same audience in the same places using the same old lines? Maybe it's time to podcast the net further to catch your next customer. With Acast, there's plenty of fish in the sea with more than 100,000 podcasts and millions of listeners. So there's a perfect match for every business. Use our ad platform to cast your net, then narrow down using targeting such as demographic, show categories, audience segments, and more. Find your match, then reel them in. Advertise on more than 100,000 podcasts with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.